Welcome to Pault on Power, PSD's podcast on power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got a visitor from Cree, Paul Scheidt. He's the product marketing manager for Cree LED components, and we're going to talk today about Cree's driver compatibility program presented as the first of its type. But let's back up a little bit, Paul, and let me welcome you to the show, and how's everything going?
Going well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. Now, solid-state lighting is obviously a big game changer. It's a disruptive technology. It's changing the world. You know, you point at any publication, they're saying all kinds of superlatives about it. But what do you feel that means to the guy or gal who's out there trying to design systems to drive these LEDs?
Well, definitely one of the things to consider is that our mission in life here at Cree is to make LED light sources applicable everywhere, to every lighting application that exists out there on the planet. And so this is something that we know is going to happen. We know there are other major industry players that are completely dedicated to making LEDs work for every lighting application that is out there. So it's certainly, if you haven't heard about it by now, you certainly will in the near future of LEDs going everywhere. And so, and part of that change is in looking at what kind of different drivers are needed to correctly power the LEDs. And so we've looked at a lot of different technologies, but for sure what's dominant out there right now and will continue to be dominant in the future is the constant current DC power supplies that we've seen.
Right. Now, I mean, it's obviously not, we just get any constant current supply. As long as it's a constant current, it's going to be perfect for LEDs. Is that the case?
Well, you have to consider, there's obviously the basic parameters as far as current and voltage to make sure that it can actually turn on the LEDs. But beyond that, we've learned over the years, there's a variety of different things that need to work and features that need to be there in order to make them really best designed, I would say, for LED lighting applications. And I would say first and foremost, beyond anything else, is going to be a long lifetime. It's one of the primary benefits of LED lighting is the fact that the LEDs are going to last for a very long time, and part of the value that they offer against traditional lighting sources is that they last so much longer. And so it's going to be very disappointing to customers if the LEDs last a long time, but then the drivers have problems before the LEDs do.
Well, actually, that's something that I see in New York a lot. You know, you've got the LED crossing signs, and it's obvious when the driver goes out and the LEDs aren't, because it, of course, makes the signage go comical. But I gather that is a big issue to make sure that the driver electronics last as long as the LED is driving.
Correct. So I would say that's one of the primary benefits, and then our primary things to focus on. But then as you go beyond just the does it light it up and does it last, then we start to get into, I would say, more secondary considerations as far as compatibility with dimmers is a big topic from the driver point of view, to make sure that there's, you know, many different styles and types of dimmers that are already installed in people's homes and in office buildings and in different control systems. And so it's another consideration for the driver manufacturer is then to make sure that they can be compatible with as many of those systems as possible, because then it really hurts the value proposition of LED lighting if people then have to go in and replace controls along with light sources.
And that's becoming a very big issue, because LED is one of the few new, quote-unquote, technologies that actually has to shoehorn itself into an existing infrastructure. I mean, the Edison socket's over 100 years old.
Yeah, and there's a variety of other, you know, linear fluorescent is decades old. There's a lot of these things that are already there, but we see it sort of as a, the lamp replacements is sort of an interim step towards getting to the ultimate goal. We look at an example, for instance, when MP3 players became popular, especially with the iPod, no cars had any sort of input jacks or connectors or Bluetooth technology back when these, you know, we're talking mid-late 90s, that this did not exist in an automobile. And so for a while, everybody had those cassette adapters, or you had the FM transceiver products that would then allow you to interface between your MP3 player and your car. And so that's the sort of step in this technology where we are right now, is that we need this interim step in order to get the technology to be shoehorned into an existing form factor. But as we move forward, We believe more and more people will look at full-on replacements and things that are much more compatible and offer much more features than what we have with technology today.
Well, you know, and that's a very, very apt metaphor there, because you know, to think of it from that aspect makes it a little more palatable, I imagine. Because I mean, it does strike me often that it's a big kludge right now with the systems, but we are in a big passing of the torch, as it were. Now, as far as you mentioned dimming, what about other functionalities? Because obviously, with LEDs, you know, you have the opportunity to start doing things like playing with color balance, or in the case of RGBs, completely changing the output color of the device itself. Was that functionality that has to be supported?
I would say that it's important for some niche applications, but by and large, most products, no. That because those features are generally going to add cost, and that's one of the biggest barriers that LED lighting has right now is just the initial cost of the products. And so generally, it's more important to get cost out than to try to add in features that, again, people aren't really thinking of as far as using their light, you know, light bulb in order to change color temperatures or change to completely different colors.
True, but then again, you know, if you look at, say, for example, secondary, a corporation could, say, for example, do color temperature lighting balance in their buildings for worker productivity, and maybe they can gain 2 or 3% and, you know, multiplied over a facility that turns into then money that pays for the LEDs.
Sure. I mean, like I said, there are certain reasons to do it, but I don't see it as being every lighting application.
Understood.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, understood.
I mean, certainly we've seen it with the controls systems. I've seen all kinds of cool demos of various wireless technologies and internet-enabled devices that go into warehouses or on roadways to dim or you know, for occupancy sensing, mm-hmm. sorts of features, in which the second level of energy savings, not just replacing lumen for lumen with a existing light source, but then also not using as many lumens in the first place because LEDs are a much more controllable light source. Mm-hmm. The things they're generally replacing.
Mm-hmm. So, tell me some more about the Cree compatibility program. So, what are the benefits to the design engineer with that?
So this is a really unique thing that we're doing, is that we have a module product, the Cree LMH2, and it is a product design that there's a light source unit that contains some really high-tech and state-of-the-art LED technology inside of it, but then it also has a separate driver unit. And when we first launched the product, it was with a Cree-branded driver and the Cree light source, obviously. And so with the driver compatibility program, what we're doing is then opening it up so that we can then use third-party drivers that are not Cree-branded drivers with the LMH2 light source. And so it's unique in that aspect that we're the first company ever to enable third-party, or actually promote use of third-party drivers with our modules. But then beyond that, we're also maintaining the warranty for our customers. So if they use a driver that we've brought in, we've tested it to be compatible, then we maintain the 5-year warranty on the light source itself.
Oh, so there's actually a direct financial benefit then to the engineer going with this program as well.
Yes, and so that's what really makes it unique, is the fact that it's no risk to our customers to use the third-party driver because we brought it in, and also from the point of view of the driver manufacturer, great exposure through Cree to a new set of customers to the lighting market with state-of-the-art LED light source that we make.
Right. And of course, that'll speed adoption across the board, because the more you can use other sourced components, it expands your ability to create product.
Exactly. So that was a question that people had when we started with this product line in particular, because we had not made LED drivers ourselves in the past. It was the big question as to, well, is Cree getting into the LED driver game? And so we've always said no, but there's not been any definitive proof. But this program really is sort of the proof in the pudding to say that, no, we're not really focused on drivers. They're an enabling step for us, but we want the best driver companies on earth to come and work with us, because we're the best LED company on earth. And so together we can partner with each other and then create some really, really great products for our customers.
Excellent. So now, let's say I'm your average design engineer. How do I get involved?
So what you can do with the program is actually online. We do list all the criteria for the drivers that we would need to be considered to be compatible with our LMH2. So all the specs are up there. So that's sort of the first step, with at least with the program, is then showing what parameters are relevant to having it be compatible with our LMH2, including drive current, but also peak current, ripple, safety and regulatory, all that kind of thing.
And that's on the homepage. That's on the Cree site itself.
Yes, it is.
So, and that's just Cree.com, correct?
Cree.com, you can find it from the front page. And then there's also, for driver manufacturers, there's then Cree.com/submit drivers.
Oh, okay. So it has a dedicated page for the manufacturers to submit their driver. Excellent.
And so we've started with the LMH2. We're then going to expand the program in the future to different products that we've got, as well as future products that are in the program. So once people are in, then we can even work with the driver manufacturers on some, you know, soon to be released products that we know need drivers to go along with them.
Excellent, excellent. Well, hey, Paul, is there anything else you'd like to leave our audience with before we close the episode out?
I'd just summarize this and saying that, yeah, this LED technology is really going to take over the lighting industry, and that I would recommend that any driver manufacturer that isn't already looking at making drivers specifically for lighting, and in particular taking into the things I said, the lifetime considerations, the compatibility with dimmers, perhaps offering different features like the wireless technologies, and adding all those things in to make new drivers that could be compatible with our light sources. That's really going to be the key moving forward.
Excellent. Well, hey, Paul, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. I really appreciate you coming and talking about Cree's driver program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you came. And I'd also like to thank everyone out there for taking the time to listen to us. This is Alex Pault from Power Systems Design, wishing you all a great day.